What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another edition of the Go Long Show. I'm Tyler Dunn, here with Jim Monas, as always, for the podcast. We're brought to you by Fatty Beer Company, our good friends. Get on in there, grab whatever you'd like. It's currently snowing in Western New York, so I suppose you can still get a stout if that's your thing. We're not going to talk about the weather, though. Nobody wants to hear us talk about the weather, Jim. It's just depressing. I do kind of feel like, I just did about 12 rounds with Butterbean, though. You know, finally coming up for air after free agency and the flurry of transactions and trades and signings and news. And, you know, I think we all kind of make that mistake of putting Rappaport and Schefter's notifications on our phone, which you have to do to kind of know in the moment what's happening. But it was, you know, a right hook and an uppercut and a haymaker, and it kind of brought me back to the old Jackass, which was amazing. Remember Johnny Knoxville? He's just beat up at the department store. He's on his back and he just goes, "Is Butterbean okay?" Should be like, "Are these teams okay? Is free agency okay?" Because we've got a lot to talk about. We haven't had a chance. I mean, we had Smoke Dixon on obviously last week, which was an event. A two-hour event. We didn't really get around to free agency, though, so we want to carve out some time to make sense of those 12 rounds. But first, Jim, how are you, my friend?
What's happening, Tyler? You know, I like that comparison, how we talked about the combine being a vortex, and then free agency is, how'd you say it, a 12-round fight with Butterbean.
Weren't those great fights back in the day? He would just fight a bunch of bums and just beat the piss out of them.
But yeah, you're right, though. It's just, at the end of the day, what moves really mattered and what didn't. I mean, I'm guilty of, when I worked in the NFL, of certainly over the top celebrating sometimes on every free agent signing we made or every draft pick we made. But it was like that for me. Everyone felt like it was a home run. And then if you really go back and self scout and you look at it, you realize, yeah, I think that, you know, we always talk about what moves the needle. I always use what moves Vegas. And the moves that moved Vegas, Kirk Cousins moved Vegas. That moved it. Russell Wilson, Justin Fields didn't blink an eye. So we'll get into that. But point being is, when you're in it, you're putting so much effort and heart into these free agents. It's a game plan, Tyler. I mean, you're planning out free agency. You're both your boards and director of personnel. You're working both with talking with the GM, the coaches, all the directors. And you know what you have to go after in free agency based on the draft, you know, how the board's looking. So there is importance. You do celebrate certain signings that the media doesn't celebrate. But when we signed a Booby Dixon or when we signed a Corey Graham in Buffalo, we were celebrating those. Those were big moves. Like, we were excited about those. And I don't know if they don't move the needle or move Vegas, but they moved that inside the building. It was good for us. So guys, like, you know, it's a balance of what moves the media in Vegas and what is perception and reality. That's really what this is to me. What is perception is the Steelers, you know, Omar Khan right now. Look, you don't get moments like this as a GM where you actually get celebrated before a guy even played. I mean, this is rare. Omar officially, they forget Kevin Colbert was even the GM. That happened quick without a guy even playing yet. So that, you know, that's winning the press conference. That was the...
Winning the offseason, you know, one head coach once told us in the media, right?
So we know. So it's the offseason, the press conference, winning those battles, careful. And I don't think Omar Khan doesn't try to win those. I'm not saying he's trying to, but that's the perception. The reality is, in my rankings, Russell Wilson's probably the 11th best quarterback in the AFC. So... Real, let's talk about, you know, we'll get into that. But that's where I'm at with free agency, Tyler. It's like perception and reality. And drafts, too.
Yeah, I want to get into the Pittsburgh Steelers for sure. And yeah, we'll try to kind of sift through the rubble, right? See which signings and even inaction. I know there's a team that didn't do a damn thing that's getting killed right now that you think is in good shape. But let's figure out like who's in a good spot after this all and which teams are teetering. You know, maybe the temperature was kind of turned up a few notches, because honestly, this time of year, maybe it's because it is an actual election year in this country. I really feel like GMs, coaches, whoever's in charge of these teams, they just turn into politicians in an election year, right? This is when you have to win over your constituents. You know, maybe you piss them off with a draft pick here, a signing there. Maybe you went 4-13. But this is the time of year. This is when you spend, you get everybody excited. They're going to buy your season tickets that you just hike the prices up on and pay for that $18 beer and $13 popcorn and $60 parking. Like, this is when you get them excited right now. Oh, by the way, the salary cap went up higher than anybody thought it would. So yeah, there's a lot of big deals and a lot of teams spent. But what the hell does it mean? I mean, who actually improved here? Who actually like made the fiscally smart decisions? I'm not saying you need to pinch pennies and, you know, have everybody driving on dirt roads, but you know, let's spend wisely. Let's be smart. It's also taxis. Maybe that's why I'm making all these analogies. That's always a joy, isn't it, Jim?
But just tax, funny you bring taxes up though. That plays a part in free agency. Don't think for a second.
It does.
The Houston Texans and Jacksonville Jaguars. And don't think for a second some of those teams aren't. Yeah.
And if you're Houston, you also have the quarterback. Oh, and you're fresh off reaching the divisional round. And
the Houston Texans have now become Duke and North Carolina basketball with CJ Stroud. The school recruits itself. You did the work. You're going to be able to get. I used to always, you know, think about this with the Saints when I was with the Saints and we had Drew Brees. And I just always felt like there was a comfort feeling of you could almost, you didn't want to ever miss on a pick or miss on a free agent signing. But I do remember the one year we made a trade in New Orleans for Jason David, defensive back from the Colts. And it was a pretty big deal. And it didn't work out. We'll just say with that, Jason David was not a good signing. But Tyler, it didn't matter. That's when I started realizing, like, some of these, you get excited about some of these moves you make. But at the end of the day, when you have the quarterback in place, the defense is in place, coaches in place, all the stuff we talk about, you're going to be okay on missing some of these. So back to the whole thing. But I just say the Texans, these people are going to flock there now. They're going to flock to Houston because of Stroud, you know, and the state, going back to taxes.
That's a good place to start, because there's so many ways to build a team, to try to pursue a Super Bowl. And a lot of it's out of necessity and trying to be creative in different ways because you don't have the quarterback. And maybe we kind of we're overthinking and overanalyzing last year. I mean, hell, you have 6-7 months to do it. But I did kind of like the Atlanta Falcons, you know, trying to get by with Desmond Ridder and build the monstars around him. Hey, for players at positions you wouldn't otherwise, you know, guard, safety, draft and running back in the top 10. Because guess what? Desmond Ridder isn't going to turn it over. So as long as he kind of playmakes, you're in good shape. Well, as it turns out, he's a turnover machine. And you can point to 3 or 4 games, as we did with Justin Felder on this podcast, and say, wow, if he just didn't throw that awful interception in that spot, they win the game. Like, so their logic was kind of solid if he's not a turnover machine, because they easily could have won 10, 11 games with, and they weren't like thread of the needle, like great defensive play. It was JV mistake turnover. But anyways, you know, the Washington Commanders, I think we said, like, you know, if Sam Howell has a 10 to 15% chance of being Jalen Hurts, you know, mobile, inside runner, pretty deep ball, take the chance, then maybe take a shot at quarterback the next year. Put up a lot of yards, put up a lot of stats, turned it over a ton. Here they are. But here they are next year with a shot at a quarterback. So I don't know. I want to start with the Texans because that's how it's done. I mean, that's what every team prefers. That You hired D'Amico Ryans, first of all, who knows the city, the franchise. I mean, you know him as a player, I'm sure, back in you're playing against him with the Saints. I mean, that was fun talking to guys about the practices that the Texans and Saints had. And Jeremy Shockey and D'Amico Ryans got into this huge brawl.
So
we were talking to Smoke about that. That's right.
And I wasn't personally at those practices, but I heard the stories, and it was basically you couldn't get through a play. Like that was basically what it was.
Everybody who knows D'Amico Ryan says what he said too. Like this guy was born to coach. But then you hire Bobby Sloak, who's bringing over an inventive scheme. And then you take the right quarterback. So the second you take the right quarterback, it all flows from there. You can then spend as much as you want to spend because he's on a rookie deal. Also, you traded Deshaun Watson. Traded isn't strong. I mean, you fleeced the Cleveland Browns, getting all of those first-round picks, avoiding the money that he would have commanded. And, oh, by the way, there's all the off-the-field stuff that we've gotten into before. Anyways, so you get into this offseason, and now you can pay Danielle Hunter $48 million over 2 years, and he's from Houston, and he wants to play in Houston. You can also, you should backtrack. I mean, you also trade up for Will Anderson, which it seemed like an overpay. It probably was to give away all those picks for a defensive lineman. But I think the foresight is exceptional from the scouting staff. I mean, you've been in these front offices, Jim, to look ahead and see that 2024 edge class isn't as rich. We've got a shot to get the best of the best in 2023. Let's aggressively get him. And then not only do you get Will Anderson and he wins Defensive Rookie of the Year, then you have the money to get Danielle Hunter, who's going to take pressure off. I mean, this is how you build a team. So they are in the conversation with Kansas City, Cincinnati, Buffalo, anybody in the AFC. It's simplistic, I know. Like, yeah, find the quarterback. But we should start there. That's the base. Nail quarterback. Have him look really, really good right away. Everything will be fine.
That's exactly. I was smiling when you were talking about the Will Anderson move because, yeah, it's not going to get overanalyzed because you hit on Stroud. If Stroud was so-so, then it's going to be, and you went, you know, and you overspent to get Will Anderson or however you want to phrase it. But, man, when you hit on the quarterback like we were talking about, it just makes everything else a little bit. You could take chances on, you know, you can take chances in the draft. You can take chances in free agency. You're not afraid to miss. He'll make it better. You feel that way. So, yes, they are in the mix. The two teams, I was thinking about this. We were talking about who wins. We're talking about, you know, the Falcons, obviously, the Kirk Cousins moves, the splash, the Saquon Barkley, that move was a splash. Obviously, he's a good player. We know that with Barkley. Good move. You're getting a good player. But the teams that the Cowboys are a team that didn't sign anybody. So where are they at? Where are we at with the Cincinnati Bengals? That team I've been thinking about a lot lately and you made me think about with Stroud because we both believe in the Bengals as a team, but they have major question marks coming into this season. They're kind of going to be a new look, not a new look, but a little bit different. Obviously counting on Burrow being 100%, but the receiving core is going to look different. There's just going to be some differences with teams like Cincy, teams like Dallas, who wasn't active. Those are the teams I'm intrigued. Like, are they going to be okay? Just being, you know, kind of getting by with what they have.
Let's look at those Bengals. You know, T. Higgins wants out. Apparently he's not going to get the long-term deal. Happens,
yeah. Now if they keep him, then things seem more, a little bit more. But if he leaves, that's what I was thinking. Like, they lost Boyd, I think, which isn't a big deal, but it's still part of what they were used to, that they had success with.
Hmm. Good call. Yeah, Boyd's a free agent, so we'll see where he goes. Pittsburgh, the Jets could be in the mix, I believe, unless he signs somebody. Zach Moss replaces Joe Mixon.
That's fine. I like Mixon.
I'm okay with that.
Yep, that's a wash.
They lost, I believe, Irv Smith at tight end. Mike Gesicki comes in. He's a, you know, receiver, not much of a blocker. You've got Drew Sample, Tanner Hudson for that stuff. So, you know, those guys kind of have defined roles. I mean, the offensive line, Jonah Williams left. So you're replacing him at right tackle. That's a premium position. And protecting with Joe Burrow, as we know.
I was going to say, with the quarterbacks who had injuries. So
I think their defense is going to be better, though. You know, their secondary wasn't very good. I'm thinking of Mason Rudolph lighting these guys up. They weren't able to hold it together. There's some really good tough talk that I enjoy in our line of work every time you go to Cincinnati, but they regressed. You could tell Lou Anarumo didn't really unleash all the packages that he has in the past against the Mahomeses and the Allens. And, you know, so this is what I do like about the Bengals. You saw this so often with Belichick's Patriots, right? Where one of their starters would take big money somewhere else and then come back. And that's what Von Bell did. So Von Bell, I believe, went to Carolina last year. And now he's back in Cincinnati. And Geno Stone at free safety is an upgrade. Sheldon Rankins on the D-line comes in. You know, he's been around forever, it seems. I think they're going to miss DJ Reader. And I'd like to talk about him at some point. I like his skill set with Aleem McNeil. Yeah. They do very different things on the D-line. But I think Cincinnati's going to be fine is my point. I think
you're right. Okay. I think I was thinking about those receivers. I think I was more, if Higgins and Boyd leave, that's when you have a new look. I think to your point, you're right. They shouldn't be. And Burrow coming off an injury. More just because we know how legit they are. I mean, that was the team that's the one team I didn't think Buffalo showed an answer for yet. Like I always say, I feel Buffalo could beat Kansas City better than they could Cincinnati, you know, what I've seen so far. So anyway, I agree with you. They should be fine.
They should probably draft receivers and take a lesson from the Bills these last few years. I'm sure the Bills wish maybe they would have drafted a receiver. Load up.
That's always the easy thing to go back on those drafts and do that. But because
you're the former front office man. You don't like this hindsight.
Well, that's
the beauty of a podcast, though, Jim. We do have the benefit of hindsight.
It is. I always laugh because I do it. I mean, I do it all the time. Every time I'm watching anything, I'm like, wow.
Like, speaking of hindsight, what about the Bears? Here's something nobody's talking about. So the Bears could have drafted CJ Stroud. I mean, there's your hindsight. They had the first pick.
Starts there.
And they believed in Justin Fields. And they trade that pick away. And they're lucky that the Carolina Panthers just were a disaster. Because if they're not and they don't get the first pick, what are they doing? I mean, that is maybe this is a little strong. You could say that's a fireable offense for Ryan Poles. If you don't get this first pick, is what I'm saying. Like, they kind of lucked out. Similar to the San Francisco 49ers. Traded all those picks for Trey Lance. Like, that's a fireable trade. If you don't get Brock Purdy and do pretty much everything else really, really well. From a GM head coach perspective. I mean, Shanahan runs the show there. But, I mean, those... You can recover. And I guess they recovered by the Panthers being bad. But I haven't really heard that much. The fact that they could have gotten one of these quarterbacks that's dropping the bucket, any team, any situation, and wins you games.
It's a great point. To me, Poles, as a GM and a head coach, their plan, if we always talk about being synced up, Justin Fields, you should know, you didn't draft him. You know what his skill set is. You know what style of offense you want to run. He either fits it or he doesn't. It's really that simple with Justin Fields. He's not a hard guy to figure out. You're telling me you actually wanted to watch him play. Like, you didn't need to see him play. You needed to decide, is that the style you want? Yes or no, to your point. And the answer was no, obviously, because you didn't want that style. Because if you did, you'd keep him now. I'm with you. It is fireable. They shouldn't have been in that. And I'm really pretty much got fortunate that it is the first pick to your point. And that's a risky way to live. That's a risky way to live. Getting lucky, you know, on trading away, passing on a Stroud, even if it was, the Alabama quarterback, Bryce Young. Even if it was, it's just somebody, show some conviction. Just show somebody that you have a plan, because you're not showing anybody right now. You didn't prove it that you, like I said, you knew what Justin Fields was. This is who he's been since the draft. It's why we said on this show that he was not going back to Atlanta. Like, it was never going to be for Atlanta. They had their chance. That wasn't
even
their
though style. That was the talking point nationally. And oh, he's from the area. What a perfect. And yeah, if you're pulling up chance. Five YouTube highlights, then it looks great.
But point being, at least that tells you Atlanta at least was consistent on their evaluation. They didn't want Fields then. You wouldn't want them now. They were, you know, that's not their style. And look what they went and did. They went and got Kirk Cousins, veteran, you know, just veteran professional, opposite a lot of quarterbacks, a top 10, you know, basically system quarterback at this point. What he can do. But anyway, yes, polls, and now he has to no doubt hit.
You know, that's, I love that, what you said. You want a GM with conviction, right? You're going to be wrong. You hope to be more right than wrong, and you really hope to be right at quarterback. But we see a lot of tiptoeing and dancing around these big decisions. Mid-October, we had a podcast, and I think we said it. What a missed opportunity for the Bears to not trade Justin Fields after he completes 15 of 29 for 282, four touchdowns, runs for 57 yards. They pound Washington 40-20. I believe that was a Thursday night game. National TV. By the way, that's on the heels of a 335-yard, four-touchdown game against Denver. Like, that is the time to trade him. Like, you know what he is. Which, by the way, that Denver game is on the heels of the press conference that we always reference when Justin Fields called out the coaching, called out the scheme, said he's just going to say F it and be himself, run around. Red flag. Like, he gave you a gift, Ryan Poles. Like, he had two of the best games of his professional life. You should have traded him right then. His value is never going to be higher. Instead, they lose to Minnesota the next week. He has the injury. He's inactive the next 4 weeks. He comes back, and it's the same old Justin Fields. I get it. Like, all the Bears fans are chanting his name, and all the DJ Moore and the biggest names on the team are saying he's got to be back. Do you know those final 7 games he played? He didn't throw for more than one touchdown in any of those 7 games. He completed over 20 passes in one of those games.
Tyler, real quick on that point, that's a great stat. I'm just going to say, I've said this every time we've talked about Fields. You never see volume completions. Go ahead. Sorry, that was the perfect stat.
It's the segue then into the Pittsburgh Steelers, because you know what Justin Fields is. Lord knows you know what Russell Wilson is. And, okay, let's start by giving Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin a little credit here, because status quo can be a good thing with how you run a team and how Mike Tomlin coaches and the discipline and the accountability and all the team building stuff that you can get into. That's been great, but they needed a change. Like, they had to do something different. Definition of insanity, et cetera, et cetera. They hung on to Matt Canada too long. You know, I looked back this morning, Jim, like, do you know when they were chanting fire Canada at the Pittsburgh Penguins hockey game? That was the home opener for the Penguins. And the Steelers were 3-2. They had just beaten the Ravens at home with a fourth quarter comeback.
That's a good.
And you've got
base.
The locals good, chanting for to be good, fired at a hockey
that's a good,
game.
That's a good fan base.
And they're right. Like,
they're right.
They weren't being
Right.
You know, Unhinged, they were correct. Yet Tomlin stuck with him to a fault, loyal to a fault. I'm not going to lie. Like, obviously, there's a lot about Kenny Pickett I like. I wanted to see him in a functional offense. I thought we were going to see more fight out of Kenny Pickett, though. That's disappointing, Jim. Like, to reportedly, you know, throw a fit at the end of the season when they kept Mason Rudolph installed as the starter, to then want out when you sign Russell Wilson, to be threatened by a washed up 35-year-old quarterback that a team's taking an $85 million hit to get out. Man, if I'm Kenny Pickett, I'm staying right where I'm at. Because he spoke up and they said, oh, we're much obliged, Kenny. Here you go. Off to Philadelphia to be Jalen Hurts' backup. And oh, by the way, he just signed a contract north of $50 million a year. So he's not getting benched anytime soon. But I applaud Omar Khan and the Steelers for changing it up, doing something different. But as much as things seem to be changed, they really didn't. We've seen both of these quarterbacks. We know their ceilings. Like, not, now they're being praised. Oh my God, $1.2 million for a Super Bowl winner and Russell Wilson, and oh my gosh, a sixth round pick for Justin Fields. There's a reason that you're only giving up a sixth round pick that could be a fourth round pick for Justin Fields. Like, Sam Howell and Desmond Ridder had better trade markets than Justin Fields. And there's a reason the Denver Broncos are willing to eat that much money. If he was going to succeed at this point of his career, it was going to be with Sean Payton in Denver. Maybe Arthur Smith's offense is perfect for their skill set. Play action and zone read stuff and get him on the move and win with defense in a run game, all that. I feel like that's maxed out. You know how far that's going to take you, though. So as much as things kind of changed, they really didn't. It's really nothing inventive going on there in Pittsburgh offensively. And oh, by the way, you're in the division with Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, the Browns off of 11 wins, in the conference with Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert and Jim Harbaugh teaming up. To me, it's still hamster on a wheel for the Steelers on offense. What do you think, Jim?
Well, I like a couple things. The Pickett, real quick on Pickett, you said you'd like to see more fight. That one, real quick, you find your value out real quick. I heard it from Mike Pettin, said it before, but if you want to find out your value as a player on a team, be late to the team bus before an away game. And if that bus is waiting for you, like, you know your value. If that bus isn't there, we just showed you your value. So that's one way. The other way is this: throw a fit. And if that team didn't come in and say, you know, if the Steelers weren't too concerned about your feelings, they were letting you know that they already had enough of something. It seems to me that we don't know, but something was going on inside that locker room. If he was everything they wanted in terms of the leadership at the quarterback position, you know, they wouldn't be giving up on it. No question. To your point, he wasn't doing something that Tomlin wanted. Tomlin knows what he wants in his quarterback, and that's fair. Just like Sean Payton knows what he wants in his quarterback. We're going to get into that next. But Pickett, to me, didn't have self-awareness. So he just found out that he learned that lesson quick. Now let's go to the move. You get Russell Wilson. This is where I'm at with Russell Wilson. Touched on it last week, but to sum it up quickly for everybody that's listening, I scouted him and was fortunate enough to see him as a freshman at NC State. So the buzz on him was from day one, and he was electric and put NC State on the map. Okay, at that time, maybe not put him on the map because they had some big time players before that, but he was putting their offense on the map for sure. Just like they lost Phillip Rivers. How do you get this guy? Complete opposite, but how do you replace Phillip Rivers with another guy that's this good? Okay. He's getting ready to enter his last season at NC State and leaves for Wisconsin and is basically asked to leave. Because we're going to go tie this into self-awareness again. What leader and great quarterback, the most valued position we look for in the sport, is asked to almost, hey, good luck at Wisconsin. We're going with Mike Glennon. They were going with Mike Glennon. So once self-awareness, Russell, you just found out, as great as you are, at some point, you're rubbing people the wrong way. Now let's take it to Seattle. Super Bowl. Once again, you hit the, like, I was fortunate enough, like I always talk about, in New Orleans, we won the Super Bowl with Drew Brees, the main reason. You have a quarterback. Have you ever heard anybody say a bad word from the Saints about Drew Brees? Thank you. Okay. Seattle, Richard Sherman, the players on defense have been outspoken. They're not into him.
Yeah.
You don't hear that. That is strange. It doesn't mean you can't win with him, but there is a pattern. College, pros, everywhere he's been, there's people that aren't. To wrap it up, Denver just paid $81 million to get you out the door. Unheard of. This is all unheard of stuff, Tyler. We're talking about a quarterback. This isn't some other position. It's the most valued position, and people are getting him out the door. So be careful what you wish for, I guess. There's something, you know, I didn't work for those teams, so I don't know all the details, but Pittsburgh's going to figure it out one way or the other. But then take it to the talent. I said it earlier. I was being nice, ranking him possibly the 11th best quarterback in the AFC. All that tells me, Pittsburgh better have the first or second ranked defense in the NFL. And they may. Tomlin can do that. So to sum it up, my needle hasn't been moved by the Pittsburgh Steelers getting Russell Wilson. And that's who's playing. And we're not going to talk about Justin Fields because he's not going to play.
Perfectly said. Agree with all the above. And it brings up another point. We how often are we trying to make sense of these teams ruining a franchise quarterback and letting prime years waste away? We've discussed it quite a bit here locally with Josh Allen and 7 going on 8 years and what's next. And they're, you know, they're trying to do like this controlled burn of salaries. I like what Buffalo's done, honestly, this month. We'll discuss that at a later date. I think it's also worth noting, like, the Steelers are kind of wasting a defense, specifically TJ Watt. I mean, TJ Watt is the best defensive player in the sport, and he has been for about a half decade. And you've got Minkah Fitzpatrick and Cam Hayward. You've had several elite talents kind of come through on that defense, and it hasn't always been pretty. I get it. But you're kind of wasting that talent on that side of the ball by being so inept on offense. I mean, they're getting to 500 and sneaking into the playoffs throughout Tomlin's entire tenure. But this post Roethlisberger era with TJ Watt single-handedly wrecking games when he's getting double teamed and they're throwing away from him, he just finds a way. And they've got, you know, Duck Hodges at quarterback, or Kenny Pickett, or Mason Rudolph, or the end of Ben Roethlisberger wasn't pretty. I don't know. I mean, man, it always comes back to the quarterback. I know it, but I just don't see how any of this really changes what we've seen. It doesn't.
Well, what you just described, Tomlin must be looking at their defense as he can make them like that Seattle defense, that special. Any defensive coach like Tomlin who's had success like that believes that he can create. When you have TJ Watt, you believe you can do anything. So like I said, I think that's their recipe for success. It's going to have to be a top 3, 5, whatever you want to say, defense, a dominant defense, and then hope. There's no way you can tell me he's going to be the difference maker. Haven't seen it. When was the last time we've seen Russell Wilson be a difference maker?
The same recipe. It's like my dad used to say when they grew up, it was They kind of would eat the same thing, right? Like all our dads, you know, you'd have whatever it was, steak or chicken, day to day, venison. That's what it was. Steelers just keep eating venison every day here. That's why. Okay, so that's how the Steelers would throw it back at us. Okay, well, what do you want us to do? I don't know. I mean, if Pickett was more self aware and mentally tougher than we thought he was, then he sticks around and he opens up as your starter. You give him a third year in a functional offense and you draft somebody. You know, maybe it's that fifth or sixth guy. I don't know. Michael Penix, you somehow work your way into range and draft somebody. Or is there a quarterback out there that makes sense to you that would have bucked the trend of the Pittsburgh Steelers that we've seen, right? That would have made things at least a little exciting or different on offense.
For Pittsburgh, they didn't invest money. It's not like they had to invest to get. You get what you invest. So you didn't invest much, and this is what you get. You get the 11th best quarterback in the AFC and Russell Wilson. You get Justin Fields, who nobody else could find a match for. So get what you pay for. So if you're not willing to spend, this is what you get. That's how I look at their quarterback situation. That being said, they're trying to swallow a hard pill. If they're admitting they whiffed on a first round quarterback that was in their backyard, that's a bad whiff on Pickett. So you're ready to move on from him that quick, and you're not investing in the position yet. Like, I'm with you. You're moving on from the guy you invested very little, and we're celebrating it. I'm with you. I feel like the Steelers are counting on Tomlin doing a beast coaching effort on this defense, you know, and they're going to have to somehow hide Russell, in my opinion. I don't see him being the difference maker. But I feel like I've said this on the pod every year we've been doing it with Russell Wilson. I've been done with him for 3 years. I haven't seen it with him. Now, I like Fields. Shit, I would have been more excited if maybe that's what you did and just went with Fields. Don't even bring in Russell.
John Schneider looks smarter with every passing year, moving on when he did from Russell Wilson to get those picks, rebuild the team, move on. Okay, let's move on from the Steelers because it just is bumming me out, Jim.
No, I mean, that was good. I mean, shoot, they're not bummed out. They're celebrating.
That's right. They're happy.
We're trying to.
Hey, he's got a nice buzz cut. I wish he would have just gone full Bic like us, Russ. He just buzzed it down.
He's got the look. He's got that steel. They had his dress team. They had him looking right for that city.
Did you see that he ended his first little video to the fans with "Here we go"? Is that going to be the new slogan?
It's what we talked about. Self-awareness.
I looked it up. I don't know why I did this. It was like 3:30 a.m. too. Maybe I should reevaluate things. You know, looking up when "Here We Go" started as the fight song for the Pittsburgh Steelers off of Russell Wilson saying it after he signed his contract. But 1994 is when it started. And, you know, Bam Morris is referenced in the song. You know, Neil O'Donnell's the quarterback. It was you want to talk about winning with your defense. That is a historic all-time defense. Greg Lloyd, Kevin Green, Lavon Kirkland, Darren Perry, Rod Woodson. And what happened? They got to the AFC Championship game, and they lost to Stan Humphries and the Chargers at Three River Stadium. They get to the Super Bowl the next year. They lose with Neil O'Donnell throwing those two picks to Larry Brown. It's time is a flat circle is my point, I suppose. Okay, this is how you want to win. We've seen it when you started this whole "Here We Go" song. Okay. I want to ask you finally here before we sign off. Tennessee Titans, Calvin Ridley, $92 million, 4 years. When you saw that, I mean, they came out of nowhere, which led to many a meme, many a joke that perhaps the receiver that was suspended for gambling, you know, might have placed some odds because the Titans weren't even in the picture here. Jim's just biting his tongue. But it was going to be Jacksonville or New England, and here come the Titans. Should we get excited about Will Levis, DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard, and your Tennessee Titans, Jim?
Be careful investing in receivers if your quarterback isn't the guy.
Speaking from experience?
So from experience, we know. And it's just tough. I go back to the one we always talk about is, yes, we traded up for Sammy to pair him up with EJ. Okay. The other thing that I noticed when I was in Buffalo, when we had Sammy, Robert Woods, Marquise Goodwin, Chris Hogan, Charles Clay, I'm forgetting a receiver in there. Bottom line. Oh, Percy Harvin. Just Percy
Easy
Harvin.
To forget. He just kind of disappeared.
Bottom line was the thought process was let's just load up. We knew we didn't have the quote unquote franchise quarterback. It was going to be Tyrod. It was going to be Castle. But let's load up as much talent as we can. It still doesn't work. Like it's still become, you don't get to use all that ability, all that talent if the right quarterback's not the guy. So that was my point on Levis and Ridley. My guess is Tennessee just overspent, right? They just came in with a number that you can't say no to. Nobody, you know, if you're going to overspend, good. You're going to get a guy. No, that move doesn't do it for me. I like Ridley, though, as a player.
I do, too. I want to pull up the average salaries here at the position. So, Ridley, his average is $23 million a year. It is a third of a mil less per year than what Michael Pittman got with the Colts. So same range. It makes him the ninth highest paid receiver in the league right now. So it's not as bad as maybe people thought when they first saw the figures. That's a little bit of an overpay, but you know, you're the Titans and you've got a young quarterback and I like the logic. Like you want to see what you have in the quarterback. You saw enough to at least justify this. I think that the problem is then, okay, if Levis doesn't work out and then you're resetting at quarterback the year after that, DeAndre Hopkins is a year earlier, Ridley is due more money, and you're starting over with a rookie. Like, what's the plan? If this, like, what's the contingency?
You're right. As far as they're showing Levis that they're, hey, we believe in you, and that's the right thing to do. They invested in him, so. But I don't see it with Levis. That's my personal opinion. And to your, you know what? I should probably stop saying people overspend. I don't even know if that exists anymore. Everybody's getting creative. They all find ways to do what they have to do. Like I always say, the cap is real. It's certainly real, but you know, you can see how people can get creative, though. You know, everybody does when you have to.
It is fascinating just to see the different ways teams are trying to go for it. I mean, the Texans, that's ideal, obviously. Then you've got the teams in the bucket with the Titans where you're not really sure what you have a quarterback, but you've got a lot of money to spend. So you go for it that way around the rookie contract. And, you know, you cross your fingers, you hold your breath, you say a few Hail Marys and you see what happens. Then you've got the Atlanta Falcons. And Terry Fontenot's mind and their mind, they've got a team that's ready to win. They just need a quarterback. So they hand Kirk Cousins this enormous contract, $100 million guaranteed. I think we just saw so many teams that take so many different paths. Steelers trying to win with defense and the cheap quarterback at 35. Banished by Sean Payton.
In the AFC.
In the AFC.
All right. But anyway. Yeah.
And that's why, like, you know, the Bills have been critical. It's like you've got Josh Allen, you shed some salary. When you really kind of look at these other teams and you look at the landscape, if you've got one of those five or six quarterbacks, you're okay with how this week went. You don't care about much else.
No, and with Atlanta is in the NFC. And Cousins, we know where he ranks it. We know, like, that's all you're getting. You know what you're getting with Cousins. And that to me is worth the gamble of the Cousins money. You know, and like we said, the Steelers didn't really have to invest much in. There is no gamble for the Steelers on this. I mean, they didn't invest. I mean, they lost out on Pickett, but that, they ate the Pickett one. That's all this was.
Let me ask you this. Who's going to win the NFC South? That's probably the question. I mean, Tampa Bay, they're running it back with their core. They re-signed Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, even Lavonte David. And here's Atlanta going all in on Kirk Cousins. Two different approaches. Who, unless you're going to say Carolina. We haven't even talked about the Saints. I mean, they're pushing money into 2027 on the Alvin Kamaras and Derek Carrs and Cameron Jordans. I think Carr, I have to look this up. I believe like in, is it 2025? His hit might be like $51 million. I mean, he's going to be paid like Herbert and Burrow soon.
What were you talking about earlier about the definition of insanity? Pull up Mickey Loomis, the GM for the Saints' press conference, when he was announcing that he was keeping Dennis Allen as the head coach, which means you're also keeping Carr as the quarterback. Sometimes the blow up is necessary. The Steelers, like you said, hey, if it doesn't work, we knew the other way wasn't. So at least they tried something with it. The Saints, I don't know. They're not going to be picked to win the South.
Derek Carr's dead cap hit. I should just say no, his cap hit in 2025, $51.5 million. So to everybody who says the cap isn't real, I mean, because they're celebrated for a while for this philosophy. Hell, we probably gave him credit at some point. Man, go for it. Just push money down the line. But there's limits to that, right? I get it. If you think you can win it, it makes sense. Push money down, pay on credit, all that stuff. And then here's the Saints. They didn't want to just, eat their vegetables for one off season and say goodbye to some veterans and maybe think about 2025, 2026. They're going for it still. Pushing those charges down the line. So yes, Falcons or Buccaneers.
So if I had to pick AFC South, the sexy, trendy pick is going to be Atlanta because of the Kirk Cousins signing. I'm going to have to believe that because I'm going to go with Atlanta. I'm not, and here's why. I do like him the best in that division as the quarterback. And if Atlanta, if they don't win that division, honestly, that's a failure. Now, if you make the playoffs and make a run, great. But come on, you better win your division with that sign. I mean, that's step one to me. That's a given. Like if I'm Arthur Blank, like I'm not celebrating that we won the NFC South next year. That's not why we signed Kirk Cousins.
I know. I'm hesitating to make predictions when it comes to Atlanta, because I think we'll have listeners and readers that will say, what the hell, Tyler? You were high on the Falcons last year. Where did that get us?
Tampa.
Hey, what are you going to say? Ritter. I didn't know Ritter was going to be a turnover machine. Now they're the Falcons.
Tampa's your pick. I think Tampa would be the pick to.
Yeah. I like Tampa. I think that the Falcons with a defensive head coach, personnel wise, they'll probably add an edge rusher with that top 10 pick. We just said it's not that great of a class, but
we need to wait for the draft before we make division predictions. I need some more roster before I get too excited. But yeah, off the top, you didn't sign Cousins. You better win the division.
That's a good spot. Any final thoughts on free agency? Anything catch your eye?
I like the way we cover it. I mean, it's
your black eye from Butterbean.
No, it was a good one. It really is. It's how many moves, perception, reality. what really matters.
It is
Trubisky to the Bills.
That could be the one.
Not sure if that's what Terry thought when we were taking those trips that draft in 17. When we were debating on Trubisky in the first round, I don't think we ever thought that he would be the guy that you're begging to be your back, or not begging, the guy you are excited to be your backup at this point. But they're excited
to
about
your
it.
Credit. You weren't as hot on Mitch Trubisky.
No,
as the Chicago Bears or other clubs.
I would say we weren't ready to take him in the first round. I thought Trubisky would be worthy of. I thought he could be a starter in the NFL. I missed on Trubisky.
I mean, if you want to talk for another hour, we can, because
no,
I feel like Trubisky
that went a whole other discussion. Way. We had it good. We had it wrapped up well. Perception and reality.
12-4, a double doink away from the divisional round. Win with defense.
Think
run game.
That.
Formula's there.
There.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, for reading. We greatly appreciate it. As always, if you live in Western New York, work some fatty beer into your rotation. You won't be disappointed. And to everybody that's subscribed at golongtd.com, greatly appreciate it. We've got columns up. Bob's top 55 is up. He'll have his 9-part 40th annual draft series, each part about 8,000-9,000 words long. You're not going to want to miss it. He's talking to scouts and execs all over the country as we speak. And his draft series is exclusive to our paid subscribers. I'll also have some draft profiles. We'll have more podcasts. There's time to get to the draft. We wanted to carve out a pod for free agency. Thanks, everyone.